It's The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega. You want to be a good global citizen. You dutifully separate your papers and plastics, bag them up, place them on your stoop or in front of your house, and you wait, trusting that the powers that be will recycle them. But will your recycled trash really get a second life? Or will it end up in a landfill basically until the end of time? The most recent study available from the Environmental Research and Education Foundation found that up to 43% of recyclables get trashed because of contamination. That's when items that aren't recyclable end up in the bins, or when things that can be recycled are too dirty, like a greasy pizza box. Bill Moore is the president of Moore & Associates, a recycling consulting firm. And back in the 80s, Bill started the rollout of the largest recycling program across the country with Waste Management, which is still one of the biggest players in the recycling game. Bill, thanks for coming on The Takeaway.
Matt, thank you.
So, Bill, how are we doing? Are we better off or worse off than we were 10 or 15 years ago when it comes to recycling?
Well, we're kind of at a crossroads from a number of reasons. We've gotten much worse at putting the wrong things in our bin and creating contamination. And on the other side, on the demand side, China has upset the global recycling business by limiting the imports of recyclables that were going into that country.
So why are we getting worse at putting the wrong things in the bin? Do we just assume that everything is recyclable and we throw too much of our stuff in there?
That's a bit of the assumption that people make when they have a big recycling cart. We call it the wish recyclers. I wish this thing was recyclable, and it's probably not, and it winds up contaminating the good recyclables. So we think everything is recyclable, but it isn't.
And you mentioned China. China had taken a lot of our recyclables for years, and now they're going to be more selective. What's happening with everything that used to go to China?
Well, some of it's being redistributed in other parts of the world, Southeast Asia, India, our buyers. There is some material being landfilled and disposed of that was recyclable in the past. And finally, in the U.S., we're seeing capacity being built to consume the materials that China once took.
Huh. So why does this make sense to send recyclables to China or to Southeast Asia or all over the world? Doesn't that consume a ton of energy to just move this stuff all the way over there?
Well, actually, it kind of works the other way. In the global container shipping business, moving materials around, lots of goods come out of Asia that go to Western Europe and go to Europe and the U.S., and those containers have to go back. And if they don't go back with things like raw materials or recyclables, they go back empty.
So you started a nationwide recycling program back in the 1980s, and we're now three decades later, and we're still, you know, figuring this recycling thing out. Why is that the case? How is that possible that we haven't figured out how to recycle to near universal capacity?
Well, a couple of things. One is we've changed the approach on how we collect and sort materials. We've gotten away from good public education, and that's a piece again of getting the right thing in the recycling cart. And the markets change as we go forward, and we've added new materials along the way, and that causes confusion for the citizens who put out their recyclables, and many of them are more difficult to recycle.
Many of the biggest recycling companies also own landfills, Waste Management, where you worked, being one of them. Are there any kinds of competing interests here that consumers should be concerned about?
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see a conflict. Yes, the solid waste management companies of the U.S. are part of the major business of recycling, but they've invested millions and millions of dollars in it. Their customers want the service. People want to recycle. We just have to get the economics right, and we've been off a bit on the economics over the last 10 plus years.
I'm talking about the recycling industry today with Bill Moore, the president of a recycling consulting firm. Waste Management CEO James Fish, earlier this year, he announced record profits in all parts of their business except for recycling. Here he is speaking on CNBC in February.
Recycling is probably the only segment of our business that's not hitting on all 12 cylinders going into 18. It's, and part of it is because of of the contamination requirements coming from China. Contamination basically meaning that there's trash in the recycle stream, and so we've got a real battle on that at our recycle facilities.
Bill, what's your reaction to that? Is recycling less profitable than it used to be, and why?
Recycling does have some profitability problems. A big piece of it is the China pullback on the global recycled commodities, which have dropped prices for those materials throughout the world. And then the other side is we're just barely off the bottom in terms of getting our contaminant levels down into the recycling. And the new contracts coming up with cities for recycling services have higher charges because of those two things, and also built-in methods to improve the quality of what's coming into the system.
So what can be done to increase the percentage of trash that gets recycling? What kind of solutions are there in the country for dealing with these recycling woes, as they may be?
Yeah, there's a series of them. The one is getting our populace better educated on what to recycle and how to do it. And then the infrastructure that exists at the material recovery facilities is improving. We're getting better all the time with the technology that we use. We're seeing sophisticated technologies like optical sorting, and even robotics are entering the business. So we'll be able to better sort and clean up our materials.
And what can individual consumers do? I will go to a friend's house, and if I see a straw, for example, in the recycling from a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee, I'll take the straw out and put it in the trash because you can't recycle the straw. What can the average person do if he or she wants to help increase our recycling rates?
Yeah, the first thing is to understand their recycling program and what should go in and what shouldn't. Another thing we're seeing is corrugated boxes, cardboard boxes. With the rise in e-commerce, there's a lot of boxes going to the home, and people aren't necessarily putting those out for recycling. And we really need more corrugated boxes to come back into the system.
Why aren't people putting their boxes in recycling? That seems like an obvious one. It's cardboard. It seems like, obviously, that's what you recycle.
Yeah, you would think that would be the case, but large boxes, people don't want to deal with them. They don't fit in their cart or their bin.
Right.
The collectors don't want to pick up large boxes.
Yeah, and you have to break down the box and fold it up if you want them to actually take it, I guess, in most circumstances.
Yeah, that's correct.
Bill Moore is the president of Moore & Associates. That's a recycling consulting firm. Thank you very much, Bill. I really appreciate you joining us.
You're welcome.